Hello and welcome to This Mum Is, a Mumpreneur.
This Mum Is podcast with Newbie, keeping parenting real.
Hello, my name's Kate Cocker and This Mum is the podcast for new mums raising the next generation while just trying to hold it all together. There are some rules to this podcast. I've powered this podcast with a lot of love and my intent is to provide you with some fun, some company, and most of all, I just want you to find this useful. Every week I pick a theme and I talk to the parents, the experts, the people in the thick of it that shape what it is to be a mum in the 21st century. This week, This Mum Is a Mumpreneur. This is obviously about mums in business, but I love this word because someone somewhere has gone, well, they're mums and they're entrepreneurs. That means they are mumpreneurs. But becoming an entrepreneur or a business owner when you become a mum is something that becomes really tempting. No matter where you are in your career, when you take that time off to have a baby, that moment is really huge and life-changing. So it's no wonder that some women look at their life, reassess and go, you know what, the way that life was before I became a mum isn't going to work with the life that I want to live. And so for those that want to become a mumpreneur, there's a vision that you can build a business, start selling your wares and make lots of money while balancing your life around it as well. So today's episode is looking at what it is to be a mumpreneur. Is it easy? Is it hard work? Does it work with a baby in tow? Is it just a myth that you go on Instagram, you post a few pics and all of a sudden you've got a new business? And why do people do it? What's the reason you wouldn't go back to that safe career of 9 to 5? My aim is to bring you some really interesting people with really interesting stories or really useful stuff that you can use. To do that, because I'm dealing with mums all the time, they are all over the country, I'm using my tech. So some of the interviews, you'll notice, they're not in the room with me. In fact, I'm on video call with them. For this theme of This Mum Is a Mumpreneur, and because it's one of the first episodes of this podcast, I have found you three incredible women. And they're so incredible that what I've decided to do is split this first episode into two. So in part two of This Mum Is, you're going to hear from two business coaches. Sarah Akwesombe set up Noble Business School off the back of setting up a really successful interior design company, off the back of doing a really great blog. So she is living the dream and she's got some great tips if you want to set up your own business. I've got Nicola Hewlin from Empower. She has set up this awesome community of women and mums and she has a great thing called the Empower Business Academy, or for short, the MBA, where she teaches people how to run a business in their own way. She was running businesses before social media, before the internet, and her holistic approach is something that, well, when you hear it, you're going to go, oh, this applies to everything. It doesn't just apply to having a business on top of having a baby. It applies to how I manage my life on top of having a baby. But in this episode, which we'll call This Mum Is a Mumpreneur Part 1, I want to introduce you to this incredible woman called Steph Douglas. I'll let Steph tell you her story. You may know her if you've ever gone to try and buy something for your mate that isn't just a bunch of flowers, because she set up don'tbuyherflowers.com. So she used to be in a corporate job working in branding and marketing. Then she became the CEO and founder of don'tbuyherflowers.com, joining us from her home and office. This mum is Steph Douglas. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And now I have this thing on the podcast where you're not a CEO or a founder of a business. You're a CEO of three humans.
I am. Yeah.
So how old are your humans?
20 months, I think, and 6 and 8.
And you're the founder of?
I'm the founder of Don't Buy Her Flowers, and we are a thoughtful gift company.
Okay, so explain that a little bit more. What is it that you do?
So the idea for the business came, I know the name usually gets a bit of like, what? The idea for the business came when I had my first baby, Buster, so I had him in 2010, and I got sent lots of flowers. And I was sitting on the sofa and I had no idea what motherhood was going to be like. I don't think I'd really thought about it particularly, about what it would be like and what I'd be like. I just thought I'd be okay, basically. I'm from a really big family. I've got five brothers and sisters. And I think I just thought I'd be pretty good at it, really. That was about it. I was really overwhelmed. So Buster was 4 weeks early. My husband, Doug, had just finished a treatment for cancer, which he was diagnosed with when I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So he finished radiotherapy and I went into labour the next day, which was 4 weeks early. So my body basically went, I've got through that. Yeah. I don't know. I know now that I'm not on my own with this, but I just felt really overwhelmed. I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. I was leaking and weeping and... I was on the sofa and the bell kept going. And it was, after we were out of the hospital, obviously, and it was gifts, which I was like, oh, wow, you get gifts when you have babies. It wasn't something I'd really thought about. And we were one of the first of our friends to have babies. And but lots of baby stuff. And then the thing for me was always flowers. So I had kind of 8 bunches and I didn't have anywhere to put them. I didn't have vases. And it just was like... but wait, I've got to do something with these. And I just remember sort of saying to Doug, but I'm, what do I do? I mean, I'm tired and I've got to do it. And he didn't get it. But it just was another thing to look after when you're really, really strung out, potentially, and you're doing all this caring. And actually, I just thought, I suppose that was where I didn't start thinking at that point, oh, and I'm going to run a business. It was more that I just thought, this is a really weird gift when someone actually just needs some TLC. And they need some looking after. And if that's an amazing pack of biscuits and a magazine, that's what they should get, you know.
Yeah, because when my friends started having babies around that time, because, I kind of managed to find a good NCT group and everything. I was one of the last ones that gave birth and we used to go round and just clean people's kitchens. You know, they've got a newborn and you go, right, I'll just bring a meal and I'll clean the kitchen down and, you know, and that's the gift, rather than giving them something that, as you say, what do I do with this?
I was on maternity leave because I had 2 babies quite close together. So I had like a year off, went back to work for about 9 months and was off again. And so I was quite able to make food for friends and leave it on doorsteps, never took it in, would always ring the doorbell and just be like, right, or text them and say there's something on your doorstep. And because I found that especially when I had my first, we were like planning in visitors that were coming. We had one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, people coming after work. And I didn't know that it was exhausting. Yeah. And I think in that first bit, you have your adrenaline is nuts. So actually, you can probably do that for a little while, but at some point it catches up with you. So once we'd worked that out, we were kind of culling visitors and stuff. And then when friends had babies, I suppose I was mindful of that and would try to leave stuff for them. And it was always about them. I just wanted to make them feel a bit loved and make them know that I was thinking of them, and I'd always include a note that was like, you're going to be okay. Because when I had my first, I remember a friend sending me a text just saying, I'm sure you're fine, but just in case you're not, or just in case you're struggling with the feeding, you know, I found it really hard. And I had no idea. And this is one of my best mates. I just it passed me by because I wasn't in that same space when she was.
Yeah.
And it just made me think, that's what you need. You need to, and I was just so emotional, you know, when I got the message from her, it was like, yeah, you just need someone to talk to and be okay.
So I struggled with breastfeeding when I started with my first, with my boy. And and we'd got to the point where we were having to express. So I was expressing to the point where I was going dizzy, you know, in those early days. And my husband, I'd put this pot of breast milk on the mantelpiece. And my husband, we were so frazzled and so exhausted in those first few days that he picked up this pot off the mantelpiece and the lid wasn't on properly. And it flew across the room. And bearing in mind, like, it was taking me an hour, you know what I mean? It was just one of those really, and he just burst into tears. I burst into tears. And I phoned my friend and went, please, could I have your electric pump? And she just went, it gets better, I promise.
Yeah.
It was the best words that anyone could have said to me at that moment.
It is all consuming and it's exhausting and it's hard on your relationship and it's hard on your body. Yes. And it doesn't last. It does pass. And I know because my older ones are 6 and 8, I know that that gets easy. You know, I can take one of them at cricket club and you can take him and he runs in with his mates and he can tell me if he's had a good day. And it's just so different to the baby who's just laying there and you're like, I've got to feed you. Yeah. You're not going to tell me. And
I was going to ask you that actually, because obviously you've got the two that are closer together and then you've got this kind of 5-year gap and then another one comes along. If you do something a lot and then you pause, when you come back to it, you come back to it with a real... a freshness, a different perspective, a bit of practice, like muscle memory even. How has it been? Like, are there things that you go, oh, yeah, I remember that and I'd forgotten? Or are you...
That first night we were lying in bed and the baby's crying every 20 minutes. It's like, you know, we just got back and we just looked at each other and we're like, what have we done? Because we had forgotten to a degree, I think. But it's... having that age gap, I've got to say, has made it a lot easier, because having two close together, like Frank is now the age that Buster was when I had my second, I had Mabel, and he's still so little. Mm. And I look at it and think, oh my God, we had him and a newborn. What were we thinking? And obviously we weren't really, but that is full on. Like that, we joke about how we called it the survival years, but it is a lot when you've got two like that and they're so demanding. It's very hard to still be a person in your own right. It's very hard to still remember who you were and find much joy. This is me talking about my own experience. Obviously, I'm not talking for everyone, but I just was in a funk for quite a while. I didn't know who I was, what I did. I didn't know what made me happy, really. And I was also thinking, I don't know if I even really like the man that I'm with.
Yeah.
Why have I had babies with him?
Yeah, I know.
He's an idiot, which obviously he's not.
And he thinks he's helping, but he really isn't. That's the best one.
No, and so that gap is just, it's completely different. I mean, it's in part completely different probably because it's my third. So it's going to be, I've really looked after myself this time. I haven't felt I had anything to prove because I've done that. I've proved it twice and they're okay. Yeah. So I don't need to. So a lot of it is probably my mindset, but also looking after myself. And we just were, as a couple, I think we've been kinder to us. I mean, I'm saying all this and Doug slept on the sofa last night.
Oh, no. Are you still friends?
We've messaged today. We've spoken today, but we're tired. We're on holiday on Saturday, and we've got that build up, that pre-holiday build up, where and the summer holidays, where I'm frantically going, we haven't got enough swimming costumes, and Frank will float, and then feeling like he has got no concept of it. He just goes off to work, which he isn't just going off to work, but that's what it can feel like. And so we're just into, and the thing that I think I understand better is you're just on two different planes. You're in completely different situations, so when I have gone, the summer holidays changes it, but when I'm at work and he's at work and we're both balancing that, then it does feel much more even. So I think that whole period of maternity leave is always going to be tricky if you previously worked and suddenly you're at home and they're at work and you're just in different zones.
Yeah, and it's like the easiest, hardest thing you've ever done in your life. You can't work out why it's so easy and yet so hard and slightly boring as well. It's really weird, isn't it? Oh, and wonderful, obviously, all at once.
Yeah, all of it, all of that.
Yeah, so let's talk about the business then. So you have the idea, as you said, it wasn't like this epiphany moment where you went, I'm going to start a business.
Yeah.
It was about 4 years, wasn't it, before you actually set up Don't Buy Her Flowers?
Yeah. So I went back to work part-time, had another baby, had another maternity leave, went back to work again, and then started the business.
So was it like a moment where you went, I can't do this anymore, I need to strike out on my own?
No, I think the idea came, and then, as I said, if friends were having babies and stuff, I would kind of just send them something in a jiffy bag. It wasn't like I was going, oh, and then I'm going to do this as a business. I just was, I was recognising that their feedback, like their messages back, were so much more than the whatever I'd sent them warranted. They were like so grateful that someone had thought of them and was sent something for them. And some of the messages would be like, this was the only thing I've had for me. So they're all getting, you know, flowers or baby clothes or whatever else, but this was somebody giving them something that was like, have a sit down with a magazine, some chocolate. It wasn't a huge tricky gesture, but it was huge to them because no one else was doing that, I suppose. So that was kind of going on in the background, which was making me think, why doesn't this exist?
Like, I know, I'm so cross with you for coming up with the idea, because why has no one done it before?
I get that a lot. And then I'm back at work and I just didn't have the same passion for it, because I guess because I was part-time, I managed a team, but they were full-time, so I was there less, so I didn't feel like I was very in control. Also, like, running from work to nursery and being the last one to pick up and all that, and I think it was all of those factors together, just thinking, I don't know how this is going to work. So it was a combination of all those things, I think. But also I started to just think, I think doing my own thing is going to be the solution to being a bit more flexible. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I had no idea how hard it was going to be, but it has worked so far.
Yeah, no, it is. It's going very well. And so when you say it's hard, which bits of it have been harder than you thought they were going to be?
That first couple of years, getting started when you've got nothing to compare it to. And also I was on my own, you know, it's quite isolating in terms of being physically on my own, being at home, trying to get things started. And the to-do list is massive because there's no, right, then I'll be done, you know, and there isn't with business. And I've learned that now. I've learned so much in kind of 4.5 years, but you're kind of looking at it going, there's so much to do, I don't even know where to start. And then when I've done that, I've got another thing to do, I can't just stop and enjoy it. And you have to learn to stop and reflect a lot more, because you don't have an annual review, you don't have someone going, oh, well done. All you've got is your stats, I guess, and your customers, but it's quite easy to be distracted by all the things you haven't yet done.
Yeah, it's really funny because what you start hearing is this kind of metaphor for motherhood at the same time.
Yeah, and vice versa.
It's that thing of, you know, you start in this business, you don't know whether you're going well or not, and you just have to look at what you've got in front of you to know if you're doing a good job. And it's the same with having a baby, isn't it? It's like, is this baby healthy? Is this baby alive? Then yes, I am doing a good job as a mother.
And I suppose it's the same in that in time. Like now, we've just had the kids' school reports and they're doing really well, and I'm like, we're doing okay. But I think in that first couple of years, you've got no idea. You don't know. And the only way you can tell is like stupid things. It's not stupid, but have they put on enough weight?
Yeah.
So that becomes this massive pressure point. Or have they sat up at the right time? And it's so varied because they don't do it in the same month. But all you know is what that person next to you is telling you their baby did. And that's all you've got to compare it to.
And, you know, before the idea came along, did you think that this was something, did you think this was part of your identity, that you would be an entrepreneur in this way?
No,
never. No, like, I was really happy taking a salary. And even now, every now and then I go,
it
could be so much easier to be taking a salary. I love what I do. But it really was like all the things aligning, I guess. And also, I think I've obviously mentioned Doug's cancer. I think that probably gave us a slightly different outlook on life.
Yeah.
Which was, go for it. You know, what have you got to lose? So you don't know what's around the corner. So I think that probably did drive us a bit. It definitely made him quite, you know, just let's just do this. Because I started a blog before I started the business, and that was really, really good traction. And so that gave us the confidence that this was going to go somewhere. And I'd been saying, I want to do this business. And I think Doug was just like, look, you obviously have got something here. Let's go for it. And I don't know if we would have felt like that before he was ill.
I find it really interesting that it took 4 years. Was it just because you were like, there's no way I can do this?
With a baby,
yeah.
It's actually something that worries me, that everyone feels that they should be using their maternity leave to do, whether that's write a book or launch a business and I'm really glad I didn't, because the only baby I've had with the business has been Frank, and the business all runs without me, like, to a degree. Like, the operationally, packages go out, orders happen, the website runs, I don't have to be on that every day.
Yeah.
And so it's very different, whereas I kind of look back and I had 2 maternity leaves, you know, I had proper maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, it's just another pressure that we put on ourselves. I think women especially, we want equality, but we're almost quite often trading something for it, because we're trying to be everything.
Yeah.
But you can't just do everything you did before and run a business on top. And I say that quite often, like, something has to give. It's quite scary how many people you see on Instagram, whatever, and they're packing orders with a newborn attached to them, and obviously if that's what you've got to do because it's your livelihood and everything else, then great. But for me, going back to work and something that was familiar.
Yeah.
I knew where lunch was. I knew the people, and I knew what I was doing with my eyes closed because I'd done it before. The thing that I'd taken out of that mix was I didn't get involved in the politics and stuff anymore because I was in for 3 days. I didn't have the same passion for it. So I could just go in and get my job done and get out again. And I think going back to that, for me, I would recommend it because it gives you a chance to just level out. Having a baby is so disruptive to everything. Yeah. And like you said, it's the most amazing thing. Like, God, I wouldn't change it. But it's a big deal. And to feel like you've got to just bang out a kid and then quickly do something else and change your career massively, I couldn't have done that. So for me, I had the safety net of work when I started the blog to make sure I could do it, to make sure I could connect with people and I could build a website and I could, you know, start that path towards having a business, but still in my old job with my old salary and the confidence, I suppose, that my old job gave me because I knew what I was doing.
So one of the reasons I think some people are a bit fearful of starting a new business by themselves is because they maybe don't feel as secure without benefits and things like that. Mm. So how did the maternity leave work with Frank?
I'm really pleased that I did have time out from it, you know, and then when Frank was 7 months, before I'd had him, which I didn't do with the other two, I'd booked him for 2 days a week at nursery from 7 months. And I just remember the first day he went to nursery, I sat in my office at home and I had so many ideas that I hadn't had. It was almost like my brain died for seven, it just paused for 7 months. And then so coming back to it fresh was, you know, and we've had a really good year. And I think it's because we've kind of, it's hard to keep that momentum up.
Yeah.
So I did have maternity leave. I don't, you know, it's not the same as being off work. But I tried my best and I looked after, like I said, I looked after myself much better this time.
Yeah. I have this concept that I use that's called being self-full. So this idea of being self, you know, when people say to you or people would say to me, oh, you know, you just need to look after yourself. You need to be more selfish. That just didn't resonate because I'm like, that doesn't account for the other people in my life. Yeah. Whereas I've invented a word, Steph, and it's self-full, and it means it's the act of taking care of yourself so that you can take care of the people around you or the people that need you. And I love the word so much more because I'm like, right, you've just got to be a bit more self-full today. And it's that thing of giving yourself permission to, you know, put baby in nursery so that you can get X, Y, and Z done so that you can be there for them when they're home, you know, rather than trying to do it all at once.
I think the whole mum guilt thing is a really tricky one because it's energy that we don't have.
Mm.
We don't have enough energy as it is to do all the things we want to do. And then you're going to spend a load of it going, oh, God, and I put them in nursery. And, oh, God, I didn't put their meal. Like, most of us are trying our best. And I think that, again, maybe that comes with the kids being a bit older or having a third. But I definitely try not to feel as guilty. Or just if those feelings come in, it's trying to just push them away because they don't benefit anyone.
No, they don't.
But and also, I've got this passion and this business that I love, and I don't want to just feel guilty for doing it. You know, it's a tricky one, I think, because I feel like we're a first generation who are trying to do things quite differently to our parents, but our role models were our mums.
Yeah,
and look at what they did, and you know, so a lot of the women I know, we are still the primary carer. We are still managing the household. We're still doing the food shop. We're from where you are. And sometimes you go against yourself because I want to work and I want to do that, but I'm also beating myself up, you know, trying to make sure I've home cooked this food and this. And then it's like, you can't just do it all. You can't just keep adding to what you're trying to do and not break at some point.
Yeah, quite. Just one final thing. What is the one thing that has got you through and the first few months of motherhood in all three cases, I guess?
Well, the first two were, especially the second one actually, were all a bit much at times. So I would say the best thing I would pass on to anyone, and I've written about it, was about pulling up the drawbridge. So when I had Frank, when I had my first, my mum, who was a midwife and had loads of babies, there's loads of us, I spoke to her and I was crying and she was like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm just so tired. And she said, oh, Steph, you don't need to be, you know, I'd been out, I'd met NCT people that day, I'd gone to the shops, I'd done whatever, the baby was still feeding. And she was like, you don't need to do everything, pull up the drawbridge. And I think at the time I didn't really understand what that meant. And when I had Frank, I knew that's what I needed to do. I knew if I wanted to keep my little family happy and my brain sane and my relationship relatively on track, I just needed to pull it up the door. I didn't need to be out. I didn't need to be dressed. I didn't need to see anyone. I didn't need to worry about anything else, but really just us. And primarily probably me and the baby. And it just was a completely different experience. And I'm just really sad that it took the third one to do it, because I speak to people, I see people when it's their first baby or the second baby. I think with your second baby, you feel like you already know what you're doing because you've done it before. So you're almost even harder on yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it just, if more women could know that they don't have to go anywhere. Like if you want to, if you feel good and you're great, but it's quite a long game. That first period is quite a long phase where you're not going to be getting enough sleep and your life has changed quite significantly. And I think if you can protect yourself a bit, because otherwise it does catch up with you. Even if those first couple of months you're like, wow, I feel okay and adrenaline's going, at some point you hit knackered.
Yeah, you have to kind of book it in a way, don't you?
Yeah, so just if you can preserve yourself a bit, and then suddenly at some point you climb out again and you're there and you're back to you. But yeah, I think that would be my top thing, just to look after yourself and don't feel you've got to do anything or be anything other than just be at home. Yeah. Really.
Let's look at the business then. So what's a good tip for someone who is sitting there now thinking, I could do this, I could set up a business? What would be your biggest kind of mantra, if you like?
I always say something slightly different. If anyone
Sorry.
I would say that when you're 70% sure, go for it. That was a friend of mine who started Graze.com, and that's what he said to me. I was divvying around worrying about a logo in the early days before we started, and he was like, Steph, like, just, you're wasting time. When you're 70% sure, go for it. Because once you're going, you can change, you can adapt it, you can make it right for your customers. But until you're live, you're just talking, you know, it's like an internal dialogue that could go back and forth for ages. So yeah, go for it. That would be it.
Did you have anything else you wanted to kind of let us know where we can find you?
Probably just the website. So don'tbuyherflowers.com. On Instagram is usually pretty good. So there's always loads going on there. So it's either the don't buy her flowers or Steph_don'tbuyherflowers to follow me, where there's a bit more gin and family involved.
And we're all for a bit of that. Thanks ever so much, Steph.
My pleasure.
What an amazing first proper guest to the This Mum Is podcast. You are listening to This Mum Is a Mumpreneur, part one. Coming up in part two, if you keep running through your feed, you're going to hear from Sarah Aquasombi. She runs No Bull Business School, and she is going to cut through the bull of what it is to be a mum in business. She's just had her second baby, who's about 4 months old now. Plus, business coach and consultant Nicola Hewlin will give you her tips on how to have a real holistic approach to not just business, but life in general. She has this incredible quote that I can't wait for you to hear. So that's coming up in This Mum Is a Mumpreneur Part 2. It's a bit like the switch when you're breastfeeding, isn't it? Part 1 one side, part 2 the next side. So while you sit me up and burp me and get me through that first little part, please remember that we're trying to get to as many mums as possible. And to help us to do that, it'd be great if you could go to where you get your podcasts from and rate and review this podcast. So this is This Mum Is in partnership with Newbie, and part two of This Mum Is a Mumpreneur is coming up when you do the switchover and you press play on the next bit of the feed.